We want to welcome you to the Lord's house this Sabbath morning. We appreciate your presence. Thank you for coming on such a wet and inclement morning. I want to read to you just one verse of Scripture at the outset to guide our thoughts. We're going to think today about the blessing of a Christian mother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. The influence, the godly influence of a godly grandmother and mother upon the life of young Timothy. That's what Paul's highlighting. He's reminding the young man of those influences, the blessing that both his mother and his grandmother had been to him. Paul attributes the fact that he came to Christ, the fact that he was in the work, living for the Lord, he attributes that, humanly speaking, to the influence of both his mother and his grandmother. So what a challenge. And just to highlight that the word grandmother, in my understanding, that's the only verse in all the Bible where you'll find the term or the title grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. You can take a wee look at that, check it out. If you find any others, you can let me know. So it's an honored title, but we want to think especially of the blessing that a godly mother and a grandmother is upon our lives. 416 then is our opening hymn. We'll make it the prayer of our hearts. Go for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light that shines upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. 416, we'll stand as we sing, please.
Light to shine upon the
to wait before the Lord together in prayer. Let's just settle ourselves in His presence. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee at the throne of grace, glad that we're able to seek Thee. Our desire, Father, is that You lead us on in our prayer lives. We pray that that would be true of us personally. We ask that it will be true of us as a church. Put the burden, the desire upon our hearts to seek Thee. We pray that we would have that persistence, that we're going to hold on and pray through. We'll seek the face of God until the blessing is poured out upon us. Thank You for these words that we have sung in our opening praise. Lord, they are the cry of our hearts. We ask today for a closer walk with God. We pray that even through these meetings and our meditation upon Your word, the instruction from the Scriptures, that You'll teach us and bring us on a little further, even with Thyself. We pray that You'll draw us by Thy Spirit. We ask, Father, that we will be conscious today that the Holy Ghost is here. Pray the Spirit might come down. We want to ask. We want to plead. We would not want to take that for granted. We plead earnestly today for the Spirit of God to rest upon these meetings. We're conscious that we need the aid of Thy Spirit. May we be strengthened by the power of God today. And Lord, we ask that the Spirit will guide us in our prayers. Come and guide us through the various parts of the meeting, and especially in the preaching. Pray that the Spirit will guide in every word that is said. May He come and open up the book. May the Spirit come and apply the word even to our hearts. Give us the strength that is needed to be faithful and obedient, even in doing those things that You've commanded us to do in Your word. Thank You, Father, for this congregation. We want to lift up every family, every brother and sister, every member of this church family before Thee. Thank You for the opportunity to meet together in Thy house on this Sabbath morning. Thank You for freedom to gather here. We want to thank You for health and strength to be in the house of God. We thank You, Father, just for the interest in our hearts, and we pray that that would increase and strengthen. We pray that You'll draw us closer to one another, even as we've prayed that You'll draw us closer to Christ. We pray that as we're drawn closer to Him, that You'll draw us closer in our fellowship as brethren and sisters. Make us a blessing the one to the other. We pray for a greater love for our brethren and sisters. We remember that You've given us a new commandment, that we love one another. We pray that that might be evident, Father, in our fellowship here and in all that we do in our dealings the one with the other. Bless every family, Father, we have gathered here because we want to acknowledge that we need Thee. We need Your help. We need Your blessing. Lord, pour out Your blessing upon every family of this church. We ask that You'll bless our families, especially with salvation. Remember those members of our family still out of Christ, or those that are cold and backslidden, not right with God. Lord, have mercy upon them today. We ask Thee that You'll speak to them. We pray that You'll give us that blessing of household salvation. As we remember our families today, we want to remember every mother and every grandmother, great-grandmother too. And Lord, we think of what we've read from the Scriptures, the godly influence of Eunice and Lois upon that young man, Timothy, and how, Father, that influence was used of God to bring him to Christ and to lead him into the work of the gospel. And Lord, we thank You for every godly mother and grandmother and great-grandmother connected with this church and our family circles. We lift them before Thee today on this special Mother's Day, and ask that they'll know the touch of God upon them, all with varying needs and circumstances, some that are weak and unwell, even at this time. Lord, be near to them. Thank You for each one that's a mother in Israel that knows and loves the Saviour, and the influence that they have had upon families here and upon this church family. And Lord, we ask Thee to remember any that are out of Christ and the concerns even of families for those loved ones, mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers that are still not right with God. Oh God, we pray that you'll speak to them. And we want to pray, Father, that each will be brought to the Saviour. I want to thank you, Father, for the visitors that have been coming to our meetings. We acknowledge your faithfulness. We acknowledge that prayer has been answered. And Lord, we rejoice in that. We pray that it will continue. We ask again that you'll send others into our meetings, especially those that are concerned about their souls, that are seeking spiritual help. Lord, guide their footsteps to this place. Use the meetings here to bring them to the Saviour. We ask thee, Father, remember every meeting during this incoming week. We pray for the service tonight. Ask you'll help our sister Andrea. She will testify to us. Use her sister. Speak through that testimony. May it be the means of bringing others, family and friends, even to the gospel meeting. Oh God, speak powerfully, speak even savingly in the service tonight. Remember the committee meeting tomorrow night. May your hand be upon the brethren. May wisdom and guidance be given. We're mindful of the bright hours. Thank you for every child that comes to those meetings. And Lord, we ask that you'll shine the glorious light of the gospel into their darkened hearts. Pray for help to be given to our leaders and workers, even sometimes when children can be difficult and challenging to work with. We pray that they'll know the help of God and use them. And we pray for our parents' night that will soon take place as well. We thank Father of Wednesday night, the midweek service, that missionary deputation or brother that will come to tell of the call of God in his heart and life, he and his wife and family to the land of Kenya. Bless our hearts through that meeting, we ask of thee. Thank you for the missionary meetings in Lisburn this past week. We praise thee for the past 50 years of the missionary work of the church, the labours of the mission board. We want to pray that, Father, as we look to the future, that there will be even a greater period of missionary endeavour and missionary expansion. We ask thee to open new doors. Pray that you'll send new missionaries, even as we think of the great mission field among the Jewish people, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Lord, send those that will bring the gospel, even to God's ancient people. And Lord, we remember the end of the week, the youth fellowship, the other fellowships that will gather here too, that special prayer meeting here on Friday evening, the youth council's own meeting. May the hand of God be upon our young people. Lord, lead them on. We want to ask that the spirit of prayer mightily might be poured out upon them. So we want, Father, to give this week into your hands. Pray you'll guide us through it and everything that we have to do, all the matters we have to attend to. We acknowledge that we need thee, Father, every hour and every step of the way. And Lord, do remember those that can't be here today because of illness and weakness. We lift them before thee. We ask that they'll know the touch of God, the strengthening hand of the Lord. And we pray, Father, may it please thee to strengthen many of these dear folk that so they could come again, be able to be with us here in the house of the Lord. So answer our cries, abide with us. We pray, Lord, lead us. May we know you're here. May we know the Lord is guiding. In the meeting today, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The second paraphrase, please. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. So the words of the second paraphrase, and we're going to stand again as we sing, please. Through this weary pilgrimage. Amen. We're going to turn together to read in the Word of God. We're reading together in the Old Testament Scriptures, in the book of Ruth. We're turning to the second chapter of the book of Ruth. I'm going to begin to read at the first verse. And we'll read just a little down into this chapter of God's Word together. Ruth 2, verse 1. Let's hear the Lord's Word. Remember that Ruth and Naomi had come from Moab back to Bethlehem. They arrived at the time of barley harvest. And we're told here, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Those are two great prayers, two things we need every day. The Lord be with you, and the Lord bless thee. May that be your experience in your family too, every day of this week. Verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying, I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. We'll close our reading just there, the end of that 17th verse. We pray the Lord will add his blessing this morning to this, the public reading of his word. We welcome everyone to the Lord's house, to our morning service. Thank you all sincerely for your attendance. We're glad of your fellowship on this Sabbath day. We welcome those that are visiting with us. We want to thank you for coming. We assure you that we're encouraged, blessed by your presence. Pray that you'll be blessed by the time that you spend with us in the Lord's house today. We're glad to have the children and the young people. It's always a blessing to have you present with us. We remember the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers of the congregation too. Any that are present, we pray that the Lord's blessing will be upon you, especially on this Mother's Day. We welcome those that are watching the service. We appreciate that you've taken the time to do that, and we pray that this service will be of encouragement and help to you in the things of God as well. Remember the service tonight. There is the prayer meeting at 6 o'clock downstairs in the church hall. We would be thankful for your presence. We encourage you to attend, come a little earlier. Then remember the evening service at 6:30. It has been our practice for a number of years on Mother's Day to have a mother give a word of testimony. And we're thankful tonight to Mrs. Andrea Nicholson for undertaking to testify for us. So that will be our special Mother's Day testimony this evening. Remember that meeting. Remember our sister as she comes to speak, that she'll know the Lord's help. We encourage you to come along to hear the testimony. Encourage her by your presence. And remember to take the opportunity too to invite others to hear that special word of testimony. Remember the meetings through the week. Tomorrow night at 7:30 in the church hall is the meeting of the church committee. Tuesday night at 7:15 is the two bright hour meetings for the boys and girls, the church meeting here in the hall, and the Killalea meeting in the band hall there. Wednesday night at 8:00 is our midweek meeting for prayer and Bible study. It'll be a missionary deputation. Our brother, Mr. Glenn Hamilton from the Ballymena congregation, will be here to tell us of the call of God in his life to serve the Lord in the land of Kenya for quite some years. Even before entering the Whitfield College of the Bible, Glenn had a burden and a leading for missionary work, and he has not wavered from that. So he and his wife Emma and the children are preparing to go to Kenya a little later this year. He will tell us how the Lord has guided them. He'll show his deputation video, set some prayer requests before us. There will be a missionary offering at the close of that service. We ask you to come and hear our brother. We invite you to come along, particularly thinking of those that haven't been at the midweek service maybe for some time. We invite you to come along to the missionary deputation this Wednesday evening. Friday night at 8:00 is the Youth Fellowship. It is the Spring Youth Council Zone Prayer Meeting. It's been held here in the church in Armagh, and some of the neighbouring congregations from our area will be joining with us, and I'll be preaching in the will of the Lord at that service. So remember the young people. We encourage all our young people to be present for the prayer time and the time of fellowship, and pray for the Lord's good hand to be upon the meeting. Next Lord's Day, the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day. 10:40 is our Sunday school and Bible classes. 11:30 is the morning service. I'll be preaching in Corrigarry next Sunday morning. We ask you to remember the congregation there at this time of the vacancy. It's now about 10 months since they've become vacant. They were granted moderation to call a new minister at the presbytery meeting just at the beginning of the month. So we ask you to remember that presbytery meeting in Macrofelt. Pray that they'll know the Lord's guidance. It certainly would be good for the congregation if as soon as possible, a little later in this year, they were able to call and install a new minister for the congregation. And they certainly would value your prayers. So we'll be down in Corrigarry just for the morning meeting next Sabbath day. The preacher here will be our brother, Mr. Jonathan Eccles, a fourth-year theological student in the Whitfield College from the Port of Vogue Church. Jonathan is a capable preacher of the Word of God. So we encourage you to come and hear the Lord's young servant as he opens up the Scriptures. 6:30 in the evening is the gospel service. I'll be here to preach at the evening service in the will of the Lord. And we ask you to remember the half hour of prayer before both of the meetings. Just to emphasize that Monday week is the bank holiday. That's Monday the 18th of March. It's the bank holiday for St. Patrick's Day. And because of that, both the parent and toddler group and the ladies' fellowship have moved their meetings to the following Monday the 25th. So there will be no parent and toddler group, no ladies' meeting, no parent and toddler group in the morning, ladies' meeting in the evening on Monday the 18th. Both of those will be held on the Monday the 25th. So please take note just of the changes in regard to both of those meetings. Sunday the 25th, that's 2 weeks from tonight, at 6:30 is the annual parents' night for both children's bright hours. We ask you to take note of that meeting as well. The children from both bright hours will be here to take part. A number of their friends and family members will be along as well. It's a great opportunity to encourage them to come to the service here. Our brother, Mr. Robert McConnell, from the Cumber Church. Robert, a children's evangelist here in the province with the Mission Board. He will be along to speak at the service that night. Robert was with you last month doing a deputation and giving an update on his labours. Remember Robert as he comes. There will be supper for everyone at the close of that meeting as well. The annual Missionary Council offering that was taken last Lord's Day so far has come to the total of £1,070. We thank you sincerely for your generous giving. Just to emphasise, you can still add to that offering if you haven't been able to give to it as yet. Remember to put the gift in an envelope and mark it for the Missionary Council. Just to emphasise that you know that we're planning a gospel mission for the summer. Just to give some further details to the congregation about the arrangements that are being put in place for those meetings. The dates of the mission will be from Monday the 3rd until Sunday the 16th of June. It'll start the day after Children's Day. So Children's Day is the Lord's Day the 2nd. We didn't feel it would be appropriate to commence the mission on Children's Day. So it'll commence on the Monday evening, the 3rd, and then run through to the Lord's Day, the 16th. So almost 2 weeks of meetings. They're going to be held in the Cooey Orange Hall, just outside Tynan. That hall has been kindly granted to us, the use of the hall for the meetings by the Lords there, and we're very thankful to them. If there is an overflow at some of those meetings, maybe particularly on the Friday night or the Lord's Day, we will arrange for some speakers to be in the car park. There's good car parking facilities, and we'll be able to broadcast the meeting into your car God willing, as we did for the drive-in meetings that we held out at Woodview during one of the summers of the pandemic. So we ask you just to take note of the dates, seek to keep them free, plan to attend the meetings. The preachers will be the Reverend Jonathan Crane and myself. Jonathan is the minister of the congregation and convoy there in County Donegal. So we would value your prayers for the Lord's help in preparation and in the preaching of the gospel through those meetings. We ask you to pray much for the Lord's blessing. Do all that you can to tell others about the mission, and when the time comes, encourage them to come along with you to the meetings. Remember the literature, especially the latest Vision magazine, the magazine of the denomination, copies available if you haven't received yours as yet. The annual historical lecture of the denomination that is organised by the Historical Committee of the Presbytery, that will be this coming Friday night. They seek to organise that meeting as near to St. Patrick's Day as possible, the Friday, January before. Remember, that was the day of the founding of the Free Presbyterian Church. So next year, or next Lord's Day, rather, is the 73rd anniversary of the founding of our denomination. So that historical lecture will be this Friday night at 8 in the Dungannon Church. The Reverend Peter McIntyre has been invited to speak on the subject of Land of the Giants, 2,000 years of Irish history. So remember that meeting, if you can, do go along and give your support to it. The Mission Board's youth camps, just to highlight those, they're held at Moyallen. Remember, because of interest, they now have two children's camps every year. There's still some places available, especially for the first camp. That's between the dates of the 29th of July and the 2nd of August. Just to remind you, it's for the age group of 8 to 12. The price is £140. That is subsidised by the board just to help parents to send their children along. So if you're interested in your children going along this year, the full details of the camp are available on the Mission Board's website. The Kerskadden family, they'll be coming home for some holidays in this incoming week. They've now been about 9 months there in Uganda. So they're coming home over the Easter period. They'll be travelling on Tuesday, home on Wednesday, in the will of the Lord. So remember them and their journeys. Remember the time of holiday. Remember Miss McAfee as she continues there at the mission station. Finally, just we had mentioned to you about Dr. Cook's birthday, his 95th birthday on Friday past. He was able to be in the nursing home. We're glad of that with Mrs. Cook. They had a nice time. The presbytery officers went down on Friday, some folk from Kilkeel, some of their neighbours from Newcastle as well visited them for the birthday, brought a cake and so on. So they had a nice celebration. There is at least one picture on Facebook. Some of you may have seen that. If you haven't, let me know and I'll be able to direct you in the right direction or show you some pictures of that special birthday. So continue to remember the Lord's servants just at this time. 523, please. We'll sing the three verses before we come to the scriptures. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. So 523, we'll stand as we sing, please.
Spring and fall.
Take a moment just to pray. Father, we commit the remainder of our meeting into your hands. We acknowledge your goodness and help already. We pray for an increased sense of your presence, a greater experience of the power of thy Spirit to rest upon us. We ask earnestly in the words of the Scriptures, may the words of our mouth and may the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Bless this meditation, our study together. We pray the Bible, the Scriptures will be an open book. And we pray, Father, that you'll minister to our needs. And we pray that you'll speak to every heart. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Ruth, please, the second chapter. I want to take the words of verse 12 as our text, that lovely verse. The Lord recompense thy work, and the full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I emphasize the words at the end of the verse, under whose wings thou art come to trust. The theme this morning is the blessing of a Christian mother. I want you to think especially of Ruth, the person that this short book of the Bible is all about. Remember that this is a book that should especially interest the ladies, the mothers of the congregation. It's a book that should interest you for several reasons. For one thing, it has the name of a lady. The book is called the Book of Ruth. I remind you that there are just two books in the Bible that are named after women, Ruth and Esther. There are some contrasts between the two books. Esther was a Jew who married a Gentile, whereas Ruth was a Gentile who in the providence of God married a Jew. Another contrast between the two books is that Ruth mentions God himself 25 times in the short four chapters of the book, whereas in the book of Esther, never once is God named in all of the chapters and all the details that are recorded. Another reason why this book should be of interest to the ladies is that the three main characters of the book, three main characters of the story, are all ladies: Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi. And I emphasize, point out to you, that those three ladies picture three different spiritual conditions. Naomi pictures the returning backslider. She returns from Moab, the picture of the world. Orpah is the picture of the empty professor. Remember, sometimes people make an empty profession of faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, whereas Ruth is the believer, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So three ladies, the three main characters, they picture three spiritual conditions. And the question we take a moment to ask is, which are you? Which of those ladies depicts your spiritual condition at this time? Another reason why this book is of special interest to the ladies is because it's the only book in the Bible that is devoted to the history or to the life story of a lady. That's a great difference between this book and the book of Esther. The person that the book of Ruth is about is a woman, one who became a mother in Israel. So there's some important truths about this mother in Israel, some important truths about the blessing that she was, the blessing that she became, the blessing of this mother that I want us to consider for a few moments this morning. I emphasize to you, first of all, she was a serving woman. Remember that chapter 1 of the book of Ruth is about the far country, whereas chapter 2 of the book is about the field. Did you notice what she said in the opening verses of the field, or the opening verses of the chapter? Verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field." If you read the chapter carefully, the whole story of chapter 2 really unfolds in the main in the field. So Ruth was a worker. Ruth was a laborer in the field of service. And I ask you all today, what of you? You may be saved, but are you serving? Are you in the field of service? One of the major lessons of this book is that God has a work for the women to do in his service and in the cause of the gospel. Other religions, sadly, have little or no role for the ladies. But that is not so with Christianity. Some of the greatest tasks, they were performed by women. That's true in biblical history, and it's true right throughout church history as well. Some of the greatest tasks were performed by women, and some of the greatest names in God's work are women. You remember what Paul said, writing to the church at Philippi, "Those women which labored with me in the gospel." What he's emphasizing there is the fact that the women assisted Paul in his labors there when he and his team went to Philippi to establish, to plant that great church at Philippi. It wasn't just the men. There was ladies, there was women, there were sisters that labored with him as well. Remember what the Bible says of Mary of Bethany? It's one of the most significant statements in the Bible. Remember, she was the woman that broke the box of alabaster ointment and anointed the head of the Savior. It was quite a significant gift, a significant sacrifice. It cost 300 pence. Remember, that was, in those days, a working man's wage was a penny a day. So 300 days of work it cost to buy that box of ointment. And she surrendered it. She dedicated it to Christ. And the Bible says of her, she hath done what she could. Isn't it amazing that all these years later, and all across the earth, that story, what Mary did that day, still remembered, still told, and the Savior commended her. He said, she hath done what she could. Is that true of you? Maybe can't do what others can do, don't have the gifts of others. But are you doing what you can for Jesus Christ and the extension of his kingdom? Think of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. "Blessed art thou among women." What a statement that is. "Hail thou that art highly favored." So think of what Mary did in the cause of God. What Mary did in the great redemptive purposes of God. Isn't it true that her life stands out very, very significantly? You think of Lydia, whenever Paul was laboring there in Philippi. She probably was one of those women, perhaps the foremost that he had in his mind when he penned those words under inspiration. The Bible says that Lydia opened her heart and she got saved down there by the riverside. And then she opened her home. She assisted, she gave support to Paul and his team, those that labored with her. So those are some examples, brethren and sisters, of the great tasks that are performed by women, the great names of women that are recorded in the book of God. If you think of missionary history, the stories of Gladys Aylward, missionary to China, Mary Slessor of Calabar there in Nigeria, Amy Carmichael, that devoted her life 50 years to missionary work in India, came from Malile down in County Down. Very significant thing about Amy Carmichael when she went to the mission field, she had no furlough. When she left for India, she never came back. Spent 50 years there without one furlough, one period of furlough. So read those stories, brethren and sisters. If you've never done that, take the time. Read the stories, be challenged by them. So here's Ruth, a young woman found in the field of service. And the question today is, are you there? Are you in that field, serving the Lord? The Bible says in the book of Joshua, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. So who are you serving today? The Bible gives us two alternatives, God or mammon, money, the things, the material things of this world. So who are you serving today? I want to encourage you to follow in Ruth's footsteps and seek to serve the Lord with all your heart. So this young mother, or the one that became a young mother in Israel, her life stands out. She was a blessing because of her service. Notice as well that she was a sincere woman. The name Ruth, remember Bible names are very interesting, a very interesting study. The name Ruth means friend, and what a friend she was. What a friend she was, especially to Naomi. Did you notice what it says there in verse 13, what Boaz said? Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Isn't that interesting? The one whose name meant friend, Boaz came and he spoke very friendly unto her. Can I ask you, men and women, this morning, are you a friendly person? Ruth was friendly. Boaz spoke very nicely, very friendly to Ruth. Are you a friendly person? Are you one that can be described as a good friend? Solomon says, a man that would have friends must show himself friendly. If you're going to have friends yourself, you need to be a friendly person. You need to have that friendly nature, personality. Is that the reason why you've no friends? Very few. You're not as friendly as you should be, maybe as friendly as you could be. Can I remind you that it's Christ-like? The Bible says that we're to decrease, he's to increase. It's Christ-like to be a friendly person. Solomon in the book of Proverbs says there is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. That's a reference, of course, to the Lord Jesus. Think of Scriven's great hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, the greatest friend of all. And remember that he was the friend of publicans and sinners. What a testimony that is of the Lord Jesus. So you like Christ in this respect. Are you friendly? A friend who never fails. A friend that can be trusted and depended upon. A friend that never forsakes. Especially a friend to lost souls, as our Savior was himself. There is a saying, a person is known by their friends. It's not good to consider. What do your friends say about you? What do the friends that you have, the company that you keep, what do they say about where you are spiritually, where you are in your walk with God? Another way to consider that is the question, whose friend are you? Are you the friend of God, as Abraham was? Are you the friend of sinners? Or are you the friend of the world? That's a warning we want to sound. How sad that is if that's the case for you, child of God. So she was a serving woman. She was a sincere woman. The final thing I'll emphasize is she was a saved woman. Sometimes that's overlooked in reading the story of the book of Ruth. That's why we've emphasized those words in chapter 2, verse 12, particularly the words at the end of the verse, "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." That's a great text. It's a great encouragement. It's teaching us that young Ruth had her trust in God. She had put her faith in the Lord, in Jesus Christ as her Savior. You know, in many ways, that's remarkable. In many ways, it's a great example of the sovereign work of God in salvation. Because think of the fact that her mother-in-law was a backslider. Her mother-in-law was very bitter. Her mother-in-law, by her life and example, was anything but a good influence upon her. But in some way, through that family, Ruth had learned a little of the things of God, the teaching of the Scriptures. They must have spoken to her about the things of God. So God overruled, and Ruth came to Christ in salvation. She was trusting in Christ, trusting in the blood for salvation. Here's a woman from Moab, a woman that was brought up in heathen darkness, converted. She had a great testimony. And how encouraging that is to us in the work of God as we witness, as we seek to reach out as a congregation. And on this Mother's Day, this Mothering Sunday, I want to put the question to this congregation, to all present, to all that are listening: are you saved? Can you say that today? Do you have that testimony? Not just the mothers or grandmothers or whatever, not just the ladies, everyone. The men, the children, the young people in the meeting. Are you saved today? Are you sure of that? Saved and sure. Not do you hope to be saved someday in the future. Not do you want to be saved. Not do you plan to be saved before you die. But are you saved now? As Ruth was, can you say that you're trusting? Your trust is in Jesus Christ as your Savior. I emphasize to you all, men and women, there is nothing, not one other thing in this world that is more important than that, than to know that you're saved and know that you're sure it's well with your soul and you'll go to heaven when your life is over. Just in closing, let me make it clear to you, Ruth was a mother. That's how the story unfolds, how the story ends. Remember that Ruth married Boaz. I have not a doubt for Boaz, when he came into the field that day, that this was an example of love at first sight. That this young lady, this young damsel, really caught his attention. Let me remind you that he was an older man. In fact, he was much older. If you look at chapter 3, verse 10, it says, And he said, this is Boaz speaking, to Ruth, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor." Remember, at this stage she wanted to marry Boaz. So he's emphasizing that he's not a young man. He's certainly not a young man by any stretch of the imagination. So Ruth's married a man that was much older. If you read church history, John Knox, the great preacher of Scotland, his last wife was much younger, maybe some 30 years and more younger than he was. So Ruth married Boaz, and remember that they had a child together. I emphasize to you, as you think of that child been born in Bethlehem, that Bethlehem, the house of bread, O little town of Bethlehem that we sing about at the Christmas time, is a town or a city that is always associated in the Bible with children, both the birth and the deaths of children. Remember, it was there that King David was born. It was there that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, was born. And remember the deaths of the children within 2 years of his birth, the slaughter of those children when Herod sent forth the soldiers. So Bethlehem's a place associated with children, the birth and death of children. And Ruth and Boaz had a little baby boy together in Bethlehem. Remember, that's a picture. The birth of their son in Bethlehem is a picture in the Bible of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should always be looking for types or pictures of the Savior. As you think of that little child being born in Bethlehem, there's a great lesson for us there. And the lesson, brethren and sisters, is that the Lord can make up. I want you to grasp that today. The Lord can make up for everything that we lose in this life. However great the loss, how bitter the experience has been, he can make up even for the loss of children. You think of Naomi. She had lost her two boys. She left them behind, left their graves in the land of Moab. So the Lord can make up for everything that we lose in this life. Remember this child that was born to Boaz and Ruth, they called him Obed. According to the Jewish custom, he was given that name when he was circumcised on the eighth day. It's an interesting fact in the story that the ladies, not the parents, but the ladies in Bethlehem, chose the name for the child. The child was the grandfather of King David. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. So he was the grandfather of King David. And Obed was in the very line of Christ himself. You read that in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. The name Obed, we've mentioned to you the meaning of the name Ruth, means friend or friendly. Obed has a double meaning, worshipper and server. And that name, the double meaning, sums up the Christian life. Can I ask you today, brethren and sisters, are you such? Are you a worshipper and a server of God, of Jesus Christ, his well-beloved Son? You know, we need to have a balanced Christian life. Sometimes the problem with some Christians is they're often one side or the other, one extreme or the other. Some are all into serving and no worship, no time to come to the prayer meeting, no time to wait before God in the private place every day. So some are all serving, some are all worshiping, but the balanced Christian life is both serving and worshiping. Can I say to all the mothers, the grandmothers, great-grandmothers in the meeting today, think of the influence that you can have, the godly influence. We've highlighted that with Timothy and Lois and Eunice. Well, here's a challenge for the mothers, a great challenge. Bring your children, your grandchildren and so on, bring them up to be worshippers and servers of the Lord, just as young Obed was. Can I say to you today, don't underestimate the importance, the influence of motherhood. Sadly, we live in a day when motherhood is relegated to one of the lowest levels in our society, in our land. Everything else seems to be much more important. Don't ever underestimate the importance, the influence of being a mother, a grandmother, great-grandmother, the influence that you can have, the influence of motherhood. Remember the old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle, it rules the world. And how true that is, brethren and sisters. If anything, the mother is often the greatest influence in the home. Many of you know that by experience, by your own upbringing. The family, the home in which you grew up. The mother is often the greatest influence in the home, either for good or for evil. So which is it? Which is it for you in your life and in your family? So here's Ruth, an example, a great example for us on this Mothering Sunday of the blessing of a Christian mother. What a blessing that is. Thank God for every Christian mother. And we urge you today, mothers and fathers alike, and all in the meeting, to seek to follow the example that this young woman has set for us. We'll sing two verses of a gospel hymn in challenge. We ask the question in the message, are you saved today? We'll think of 242, sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of the hymn only, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Father, we ask thee to write your word upon our hearts. Speak on to us through this day and through this week. We commit ourselves and our families now into your keeping. We pray especially that you'll save in this house today, save in our family circles. And we plead now that the blessing of God Almighty, the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will rest upon us each one, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.